but it's testing your faith because there are certain things he's building in that season that won't be built any other time, like perseverance, like attitude, keeping a sense of a good disposition, even when things aren't going quite the way you'd like it to be going, when it's not the most convenient. And then people look at you and say, how can you keep such a wonderful demeanor and disposition when things are going like this? And then you point them to God. Let your light so shine before men so they'll see your good works.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. When a person becomes a Christian, there's often a lot of excitement. You can't wait for church service. You love the fellowship. You love to serve. But as time goes by and you encounter trials, the excitement can often wear off. That's when it takes commitment. In a moment, a message from Pastor Wayne entitled, When Newness Turns to Commitment. But first, please join us for a few minutes of worship.
It was in 1820 when missionaries landed in a port called Kauaihai, and they brought the gospel to a group of people ready to learn about God. The gospel swept through the islands, and that which was hula that used to be given to deities now, and they also would do hula in tribute to a king or a royal family. Now, when the Lord swept the islands, hula was now as a tribute of honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. 80,000 Hawaiians would receive Christ as Lord and Savior. It was the beginning of a new era. Was actually called the Great Awakening in Hawaii. And today, many, many churches spot the islands because God found Hawaii on the side of the globe in the middle of the Pacific. You might be here today and you wonder, does God know where I am, who I am, what I'm going through? Oh, he does. We too want to give tribute to the one who is the creator of all. And even though he's created the universe, he knows where you are, even if you think you're lost. He knows. And he says to you, welcome. So would you now give thanks and an applause offering to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. God, we honor you.
Aloha. Let's put our hands together and worship the Lord.
Glory, glory, Lord. We give you glory, Lord.
Come on.
Glory, glory, Lord. You are the mighty God.
We give you glory.
Glory, glory, Lord.
Come on.
We give you glory, Lord. Glory, glory, Lord. You are the mighty God.
Go down to the sea, you who live in the islands, oh, if you live in the city, oh, lift your voice and sing out.
Glory, glory, Lord.
We give you glory.
We give you glory, Lord.
We give you glory.
Glory, glory, Lord.
You are the mighty God. Everyone on earth will declare your glory, Father. And in every nation and in every tongue, we will sing glory, glory, Lord. So now let's sing it in Hawaiian.
All right, everybody. It goes like this.
Sing nani nani Yehovah. No kanani Yehovah. Nani nani Yehovah. Keakua manaloa.
Come on, let's all sing it now. Sing it out.
Nani nani Yehovah.
Yeah.
No kanani Yehovah. Nani nani Yehovah. Te akua manaloa.
Now let's sing it in Samoa.
Vigia vigia le tua. Mato te vio oile a tua. Vigia vigia le tua. Oi oi le tua metatu tia.
Via via le tua, mato te via oile a tua. Via via le tua, oile tua ta utia.
Sing glory, glory, Lord.
Glory, glory.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, When Newness Turns to Commitment.
Would you take out your notes with me? We're going to talk about commitment and the crucial importance of understanding that word and engaging in that character quality, commitment. Now, how many of you have ever had your faith tested sorely by somebody or something or some situation? Yeah, I like to start with a humorous story. There's a guy who's a young Christian trying to give a testimony of his faith, lives next door to a grumpy old lady that just doesn't want to have anything to do with Christianity. Now, he's got a dog, and between the 2 yards is a fence. Now, his dog kind of goes out and is in the yard, but the lady's got a rabbit she lets out in her backyard, and his dog just barks, running up and down, trying to get at that rabbit, and this lady is just so mad, relentlessly telling this guy, keep your dog away from my rabbit, and he's trying to give a good testimony, so he's getting his dog inside, he's trying to calm him down, and boy, this dog just wants to get at that rabbit. Well, he finally calms his dog down, and this is going on day after day, and this lady's getting a little mad, miffed at what's going on. So, well, this slows down for about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, and everything's pretty cool. And then one day he's in his house and he hears his dog outside, growling like this. He runs outside, and the dog had gotten out of his yard and into the lady's backyard. In his mouth was the rabbit, dirty, muddy, flopping around, half the hair gone, and it is dead. Oh, no. He says, what am I going to do? I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying to show my faith, and oh, man, it's being tested, so I don't know what to do. And he looks, and the woman's car is gone, so she obviously must be shopping, so he gets this idea. So he runs down and gets the rabbit out of his dog's mouth, and this thing is flopping around, and he runs upstairs and washes the mud off of it. He takes the dirt off of it, puts it under the shower, shampoos the rabbit, just flopping around dead, you know, and he's shampooing it with a Prel, and then he used Pantene conditioner. And so then he gets his blow dryer out and he fluffs it up. And he sneaks down to the neighbor's house right on her front porch and props this thing up again, you know, puts the legs under it, puts the ears nice and wide. And then he runs off, and he's in his house. And about an hour later, he hears this blood-curdling scream next door. Ah! So he runs down to the lady's house. Pray tell, what might the matter be? He said. And she said, my rabbit died 3 days ago. I buried it in my backyard, and now it's back. Sometimes our faith gets tested, and when we try to fix it, we mess it up really bad. Well, today we want to talk about commitment and how it's going to be tested. We have all had opportunities where we can give up on a commitment, quit, drop out on something we believe we made a commitment to, we slack off. But for each of us, God's highest plans that He designed for us will only be granted to those who remain committed. People will see their dreams come to pass are those that understand commitment. It's a made-up mind that you're in it for the long haul. Even though it might be difficult, you're going to hit speed bumps, you're going to hit valleys. It's going to happen. There'll be crosswinds and cross currents and storms, but stay with it, because God's dreams that He put in your heart are still latent there, still potential. As we remain committed to a church or to our family, to our faith, to our job, then God can continue His work until the fullness of time if we don't drop out. There's going to be good days. There's going to be bad days. There's going to be exciting times, very boring times. There's going to be times when the ones we're committed to deserve our commitment. And there's other times when people that we committed to don't seem to deserve it at all. But we've got to stay in it for the long run. Because when you start to learn about commitment, you just start to get an initial glimpse of the heart of Jesus Christ for you and me. Because we want to be like David, a person after God's own heart. Well, the way to do it is as we learn commitment, we start to understand His heart. How many of you, by the way, are glad that Jesus stayed committed to us all the way through to redemption. Even when we didn't deserve it, even when we turned away, yet he continued to remain committed to us. Did he have times when he had an opportunity to bail out halfway? Absolutely. He could have said, people don't like me. The Pharisees are trying to kill me. The high priest is trying to murder me. Demons are chasing me. Look, I'm kind of done right now. I've had it up to here. And I think I'm done right now. But he didn't. He stayed with it. Reminds me of a story of the mother bangs on her son's door. Bang, bang. Get up. It's time to go to church. Leave me alone. Bang, bang. She barges in. Get up. It's time to go to church. No, I'm not going to church. No more. She says, why? People there, they don't like me. They don't listen to me. They don't want me around. The mother said, they do. They love you. They listen to you. They do want you around. And besides that, you're their pastor. Get up. Commitment. Regardless of the things going on. We have to learn about the heart of Christ. And once you start learning commitment, you start realizing, you know, Jesus did this a million times more for me. And if I'm going to build the heart of Christ, I've got to learn this and stay true to what he's called me to do. I've been studying the lives of great missionaries, Hudson Taylor, Jonathan Goforth, David Livingstone, Amy Carmichael. And even though they had different callings, they had one thing in common. They all had commitment. It is then that God used that one ingredient to bring about his recipe of success and fruitfulness. One thing in common. There's going to be times in everyone's life where you're going to find something constructive be born out of adversity. We're going to find that in the book of James. And if you would take out your notes, let's read what it says here. James was the half-brother of Jesus. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Mary had Jesus born on that Christmas day. And then Mary and Joseph had other children, one of which whose name was James. He later would become the head of the Jerusalem council, like bishops over what was going on. And he writes in this book, he was martyred at the end. So he understands tough times. That's going to test your faith and commitment. But let's read what it says together. Would you read it with me? James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Nice and loudly, go. Don't run from tests and hardships, brothers and sisters. As difficult as they are, you will ultimately find... What will you find? Joy. Say that again. You'll find joy in them if you embrace them. Your faith... Stop right there. Your what? Faith. Your faith will blossom under... Ouch. And teach you true patience as you endure, and will equip you to complete the long journey and cross the finish line, mature, complete, and wanting nothing. Commitment. It's more crucial and important than you'll ever know. But would you write down somewhere, you're going to have to expect to pay a price. You're going to expect to pay a price. It doesn't come conveniently. Consider what you're really willing to pay. Hard work, endurance. You're going to encounter criticism, fatigue, loneliness, rejection. You see, a lot of times, the only time people stay committed is when things are going their way. When there's sunshine and fair winds to your back, we stay committed. Committed to our family, our marriage, our job. But when things don't go our way, we bail out. Sometimes you say, well, if the boss treats me right, then I'll stay committed to this job. If they pay me what I think I'm worth, then I'll stay committed to this job. But they're not. And so what happens is we come late. We're not committed to the job. We play on our computer when we should be working. Well, if they pay me more. But you got to remember that the boss or the company is not your source. God is your source, not the company. And God is the one who's keeping score. God's the one that's watching. You are employed by God primarily. For the psalmist says in Psalm 75 and verse 10, promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west. Promotion cometh from the Lord. He raises one up, puts another down. So it's God that's watching, not the boss. And if I think that my boss is the one that's my source, then I'm almost making him my God. because my life is going to rise or fall based on his performance. And it's not. It's based on the source, who is the creator of the universe. He's the one who I'm serving. We work unto God, not unto men. So when I stay committed to excellence, when I stay committed to being my best, regardless of what the salary scale is, I'm not working unto men. I'm working unto God. And he's put me here. Would it be a desert time? It could be. There's sometimes in your life it's going to be a desert season. But it's testing your faith, because there's certain things he's building in that season that won't be built any other time, like perseverance, like attitude, keeping a sense of a good disposition, even when things aren't going quite the way you'd like it to be going, when it's not the most convenient. And then people look at you and say, how can you keep such a wonderful demeanor and disposition when things are going like this? And then you point them to God. Let your light so shine before men so they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See, that's the time it happens. It doesn't happen during fair winds and bright and sunny seasons. It happens in seasons of adversity and times of the desert. And then people see, because you see, watch this. Here's the long journey of your life, and I make a commitment, right? All the way to the end. I'm in it for the long run, with a marriage or a faith or my commitment to Christ or my family. I'm in it for the long run. Will there be bumps? Oh, absolutely. Will there be valleys? Absolutely. Yeah. But watch this. In every bump, at every point of adversity, I'm going to learn something of character. Perseverance, maybe. Punctuality. My disposition. My demeanor. Now watch this. God's going to go, whoop, yep, whoop, whoop, right there, right there, right there. That, See, that's what I wanted you to get. That's the treasure. It's not this. It's this. And you only learn those in adverse times of adversity. And then it's at the end of every speed bump, you learn something. And the Lord collects those and says, this is what you're going to need to steward this reward. Because if you don't have this, you'll squander this. Commitment is absolutely critical to the building of the image of Christ in you. Where does it come? On the good points? On easy street? No. At the tough times, in the alleys, in the deserts, and in the valleys. That's where you learn the treasures of the likeness of Christ that you're going to need to steward this here. Otherwise, we squander it at the end, and all for naught. Now, another thing, watch this. A lot of times, we see this journey, and at the end is a reward. Now, what data shows is that in every commitment, whether it's to your family, to your faith, to your friends, to your children, whatever it might be, your commitment at the middle is always going to be a huge opportunity and temptation to quit. There's two kinds of people. One comes to the middle and they quit and they go back to the beginning. The second group of people come, they go through that, but they finish it off. And they come to the end and find God's reward. Now watch this. Both of them traveled the same distance. One went halfway, went back. The other went halfway, went through it, and finished it. They both traveled the same distance. But one gets the reward and the other gets zero. They have to start all over again. Can I say this? It's far better to stay committed than to drop out in the middle. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And that's what Jesus did. He continued through it. Because would you write down some of these if you can remember it? Commitment is staying true to a worthy decision long after the emotion of having made that decision has passed. That's when commitment begins. Because in the beginning, everything is new and fresh. How many of you know it's easier to start something than it is to finish it? Yeah. In the end, our lives are going to be marked by the commitments we make and the commitments we break. That's what will mark your life. The commitments we make, the commitments we break. And commitment is also realizing that you may have to fight a battle more than once in order to achieve a victory. Because there are some things you're going to have to fight for. I say this to the men. Men, if you don't fight for your family, nobody will. You got to fight for your family. And you've got to make a commitment to that. But sometimes those battles, you're going to have to fight a few times. You have to keep wrestling with it till the end. But if you're committed, if you're committed, if you're committed to the end, you will win every time. And to all of us, those, especially those of you that are married, love is not achieved by maximum emotion. It's achieved by maximum commitment. And then you begin to understand, oh, and as you love one another, you grow in character. And that only comes in the valleys, in the deserts, and at the speed bumps. So expect to pay a price, but it's okay because it is absolutely worth it. Well, what does it do? The second thing is that I love about commitment is expect it to build your faith, because that's the bottom line.
For the Lord to help me, and He turned to me and heard my cry.
He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire.
He set my feet on solid ground and stayed.
Hymn of praise to our God.
Oh, 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 oh.
And He will see what He has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the joys of those who trust the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols.
Oh, my God, You have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to live.
To recite all Your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all Your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all Your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all Your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all Your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all Your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them.
You've been listening to a message entitled, When Newness Turns to Commitment, by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. In fact, here is a little preview of what's in store tomorrow.
There's a power waiting for you. There's a grace that God has for you. There's a depth. If you could see what God has for you, it'd blow your mind. Now it's up to us. But we've got to throw our heart over the line for Jesus. And when you do, everything starts to fall in line.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.